Hey guys, thank you very much for tuning in. This is Peter Vila, and you are listening to the SRF Roll Call Podcast. Really excited to be able to contribute this and share this with you. We've been talking for a number of years as far as how to increase resident outreach, how to better communicate with the residents that we're supposed to represent. And so I'm trying this as a new way to try and get information out there as far as creating a podcast. We've tried some videos. We've tried, you know, people get too many emails anyways. So this is sort of a new thing, and I'm doing this to see how effective it is. So thank you very much for tuning in. And what I'm going to talk about today, this is the first episode, and what I'm going to talk about in this episode is why residents should get involved in the academy. I think a lot of residents go through residency, and rightfully so, are focused on learning otolaryngology, learning how to take care of patients. What I think a lot of people don't realize is that there's a lot of opportunities through the American Academy of Otolaryngology, Head and Neck Surgery that are available to you. They will pay for a lot of things. They will pay for a lot of your travel to go to these meetings, to go on humanitarian missions, for example, to serve on review committees, for example, for core grants. All of these things are there, and they're really there for you to take advantage of. And there's a lot of excellent opportunities for you to be able to do that. So I'm going to try and share that with you guys. Now, first, before I get started, I'm part of the SRF, which is the section for residents and fellows of the Governing Council. So there's five of us, and I won't go through each particular role, but there are elected roles that basically, if you go to the academy meeting in the fall, when you see people getting up and sort of giving their little one-minute blurb about why they want to do whatever they want to do, they get elected to these positions, and then these five positions run the governing council. So it's the chair, the vice chair, the information officer, the member at large, and the immediate past chair. If you want to know specifically about what they do, I would direct you to the academy website, entnet.org, and you can read specifically about what each of those roles serves. In addition to those, you also have the board of governors representatives. You have the board of governors governor, you have the BOG legislative rep, and the socioeconomic and grassroots rep. And these are all roles that basically allow us to keep track of what's going on at a political level and how that affects otolaryngology. So lots of ways to get involved. What we really do is communicate with the board of directors. And so when somebody, some leader at the academy wants to get resident input, what we do is nominate people for those positions. So they might want someone to serve on a clinical practice guideline panel, for example, or they might want someone to serve on a specific committee. And our role is to elicit resident feedback and nominate people to those committees. And that's a really excellent way to get involved, and I'll talk a little bit more about that later on. The other sort of roles on the SRF is the resident representatives. And a lot of you are resident representatives, which is great. And what these are is a specific person that's been nominated by each of their programs to serve as the representative to their own program. So basically, they take information that comes from the information officer and relay it to their residency program so that other residents who may not be so tuned in with emails and whatever coming from us, they can sort of pass that information on. It's just another way to increase outreach, and so they can help get the message out. They also serve as sort of our ears on the ground, and if there's issues that people are having at residency programs, we encourage those reps to get a hold of us. Really, anybody can get a hold of us, but they're supposed to be doing it every month. So what else does the SRF do? In a way, the SRF is sort of a gateway for serving on other committees. It's sort of the first step to seeing what the academy does and allowing you to learn more so that you can then go on your own and serve on committees and other things, for example. So I'm going to talk specifically about what those are. So my goal in the next couple of minutes is to basically explain why, as a resident, you should get involved with the academy. So I'm going to try and give you five good reasons why you should do that. The first reason is that you will meet future mentors by serving on committees. So I'm going to give you some personal examples. I served on the PSQI committee, the Patient Safety and Quality Improvement Committee, as a junior resident. And on that committee, there was a lot of talk of putting together an event reporting system. I ended up getting involved with that and sort of giving resident input for how that might affect us as residents in terms of having to report events to this anonymous national database. I networked with a lot of national leaders in terms of QI efforts in otolaryngology and got to meet a lot of them. And we're currently working on a paper to describe that. So I've gotten a manuscript out of that. I've gotten excellent experience at a pretty high level working with academy leaders. Another example is that I was part of a clinical practice guideline panel. So I got to serve on the Otitis Media with Effusion Update panel, which is a really exciting experience. And if you're interested in research at all or interested in sort of outcomes clinical research, this is an excellent way to see firsthand how we come up with these guidelines. And so what you get to do basically is they'll fly you out and you get to sit as a full member of this panel and you get to be a part of this process. And it's a pretty extensive process. And if you're interested in how clinical practice guidelines work, there's entire, Rich Rosenfeld has written an entire manual on how to put one of these together. But basically what it involves is a systematic review of the literature for whatever topic you're talking about. And then you go in and talk about what you can get out of it. And so there's strong action points. You can make recommendations based on what the evidence shows. And so that's pretty exciting stuff. Some of the sinusitis recommendations, for example, are pretty heavily cited. So that's an excellent way that you can participate and really affect change. These guidelines do actually cause changes in practice. And so to be a part of that is pretty cool. And also not to mention all the relationships you get out of serving on one of those panels. All right, so reason number two of why you should get involved with the Academy is you will be more informed about issues affecting our specialty. So one of the ways that the Academy sort of keeps their ear on the ground in terms of political happenings is through the Board of Governors. And what the Board of Governors does is they're very in tune with changes basically coming down the pipeline from the government, and as well as sort of grassroots efforts coming from individual physicians who are reporting issues. So for example, the SGR repeal, the sustainable growth rate formula is something that I could take an entire episode to explain, but basically it's a way for Medicare to determine how much they're going to pay physicians for each procedure. And the way it's been done didn't really make a lot of sense, and it's extremely complicated, but basically, it needed to be repealed, is a long story short. And the way that that happened, this has been going on for years. And finally, last year, it was finally repealed. And that's due to, in large part, a lot of lobbying and sort of strongly worded letters from societies like the American Academy of Otolaryngology Head and Neck Surgery. And that comes from the Board of Governors working together with the 3P Committee, the Physician Payment Policy Group, which is a committee of the Academy. And together they coordinate the response to the federal government. And that really does affect change. That's something, if you're interested at all in terms of political happenings and making things change, the Board of Governors is a great way to do that. Now, in terms of as a resident, what do you do? The Academy will actually pay for you to go to these meetings. So they will provide travel grants for you to attend the Board of Governors meeting, which is in March, held in D.C., or $500 for you to attend the Fall Academy meeting, where it's sort of a mix of everything, a lot of research, a lot of seminars, a lot of meetings. And for the senior residents, that's really where a lot of job interviews go down. So there's a lot going on, and the Academy will pay for you to go there. Now, the limit is to 2 grants per program. But that's a great way to sort of use that money. It's there for you. Use it. All right, number three. Why should you get involved with the Academy? You can be more informed about issues affecting residency programs. So this year we presented at the SUO meeting, which is the Society of University Otolaryngologists, which is a meeting of chairs and program directors around the country, where they get together to talk about issues with residency. So a couple of excellent residents put together the findings from a survey that we did to basically describe issues facing residents. And this was heard by pretty much everybody in the room, and received very well. And this is going to directly impact how our leaders are looking at changing residency programs and addressing current issues. So that's a really powerful way to get involved. Another thing that's a big change that's happening is the current ACGME changes to where ENT interns now have 6 months on ENT, or required to have 6 months on ENT, which is phenomenal. And I think that's a really positive change. The question is, what are we going to change to accommodate that? Because obviously that's going to change a lot of structures and rotations and whatnot. So that's an issue that different people are going to address differently. And it's good to be aware of how other people are making changes, because maybe you hear about something that sounds really great and your program director may not be aware of it. But it's great to be able to say, look, I heard about this. They're doing this at, you know, say Michigan or whatever. And why don't we try that? So I think that's a really excellent reason as to why to get involved as well. All right. Reason number four of why you should get involved with the Academy. You learn more about research. So a lot of people do research simply because your attendings may want you to, and maybe you don't want to do research, and that's fine. And this doesn't apply to everyone. And honestly, most people are not going to do research. For the few of you who do, there are excellent opportunities in terms of serving on the core grant review committees. So they will completely fund your way to fly out to Dallas, Texas on the third weekend of March, and you'll serve as a core grant reviewer. And you get to see how they basically do it in an NIH format, where you get to see how each of these grants is scored and how they end up determining who gets funded. And that's really important if you want to be an academic researcher, because that's going to basically determine your career from now on, is going to be getting grants and staying funded. So it's a crucially important part of development, and it's a really cool way to get involved if you have the time to do that. So the way it works is that all the residents who've served in the past get invited back, and then they take 6 new residents every year. You have to apply, and then they let you know a few months later, and then you can serve on this panel. I encourage you, even if you didn't get it the first time, you can try again. It is a competitive process, but I think it's an extremely important way to contribute. All right, reason number five as to why you should get involved with the Academy. You can travel and provide ENT care on humanitarian missions. All right, so they will the Academy gives out humanitarian travel grants, and they will partially fund your travel to go to different places to provide care. This is an excellent learning opportunity in terms of surgical training. You get to travel to new places. You get to meet new people, expand your horizons. I did a lot of this when I was still in med school. And you really learn a lot about, you know, just how to take care of patients when you don't have this super fancy device. And you learn about everything, you know, how to screen patients for surgery, what do you do once you're gone? There's a lot of really interesting stuff that comes out of that work, and it's very personally fulfilling. So I would encourage you to get involved with that as well. It's, again, the money is there. Use it. So those are my five reasons. I really want to thank you guys for listening to this. I think we're going to keep doing this for a while to see how it goes. And I would encourage you to please get in touch with us. Go to ENT Connect. Leave us a message. If you go to entnet.org, that's the Academy website, there's a little button at the top that says ENT Connect. And feel free to drop us a line. If there's topics you're dying to hear about, please let us know. You can get in touch with us on ENT Connect, our Facebook page, or via email. Thank you again very much for listening, and this has been the first episode of the SRF Roll Call Podcast. My name is Peter Vila, and stay tuned for the next episode.